Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy.
Welcome to Wednesdays in the Word. We are studying Joshua 5:15. And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Heavenly Father, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal your truths to us. It's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are going to do one last key word, holy. We have looked at commander, take off, sandals, feet, standing, and we're going to wrap up this keyword verse study with holy. If you look up the dictionary definition, it says worthy of complete devotion, as one perfect in goodness and righteousness. So, of course, we know that is God. When you look at the spiritual Hebrew word use of holy in this sentence, it is sacred, consecrated, hallowed, dedicated, and portion. One of the cross-reference verses it leads us to is in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. "And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" And that was seraphim or angels, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew, and one called to the other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And they are called the burning ones, and they hid their faces because the brightness and the glory of the Lord was overwhelming. So that just tells you a little bit about God's glow and character. And then if you look at some commentaries, one of them that I just adored reading, so I'm going to share with you, it was from Matthew Henry's commentary, and it says, "Christ will be to his people what their faith needs." And I'm just going to read it to you. It says, "We read not of any appearance of God's glory to Joshua till now," in 5:13 through 15 of Joshua. "There appeared to him one as a man to be noticed. This man was the Son of God, the eternal Word. Joshua gave him divine honors. He received them, which a created angel would not have done. And he is called Jehovah." You can also look at Joshua chapter 6, verse 2. Now here's where he appears to his people where their faith needs. To Abraham, he appeared as a traveler. To Joshua, as a man of war. Christ will be to his people what their faith needs. Christ had his sword drawn, which encouraged Joshua to carry on the war with vigor. Christ's sword drawn in his hand denotes how ready he is for the defense and salvation of his people. His sword turns every way. Joshua will know whether he is friend or foe, because the cause between the Israelites and Canaanites, between Christ and Beelzebub, will not admit of any man's refusing to take one part or the other, as he may do in worldly contests. Joshua's inquiry shows an earnest desire to know the will of Christ, and a cheerful readiness and resolution to do it. All true Christians must fight under Christ's banner, and they will conquer by his presence and assistance. Wow, isn't that beautiful? But I love that he will meet us where our faith needs. So wherever you are again on your spiritual journey, just know that Christ is there. God is there. God is holy. and he meets you where you are. And that concept of holy ground extends beyond physical location. It was holy not because of that specific place. It was holy because God was there. It encourages us to seek holiness in our daily environment, to seek holiness in our interactions. So back to one way of putting yourself in the holy presence of God is how you commune with Him, what you say to Him, when you say it, with what regularity you say it. So I really hope over these last few episodes in Joshua 5:15, over the last few weeks, you have been compelled to search out for yourself, not to mimic me or anybody else, but to search out for yourself, what does it look like to, with regular devotion in your daily life, regular devotion in your daily life, what does it look like to seek the presence of your holy God, to seek to be in the presence of your holy God, in your daily environment, in your house, at work? And I truly believe that the more we seek holy interactions, and what does that look like? It, to me, looks like an accountability with one other person, at least one other person. It may be a small handful of people. It may be joining a life group, a community group. It may be offering your home and inviting a few women in. It may be starting a Bible study or just a prayer group with people at your work, talking about God at lunch, asking people about their relationship with God, seeking out a mentor, seeking out discipleship, joining a Bible study, listening to a podcast. That's all wonderful avenues for encouraging you along your spiritual journey. And it's amazing to speak with someone else about what they are receiving from the Word of God. I love talking about God to anyone, just like right here today in my kitchen at the table, talking to you all alone. I will gladly do it, but it is even next level on the episodes that you hear Maddie and I sitting here talking at the table, because I am encouraged in my faith by her encouragement in hers. So that is why it's just wonderful. That's what community is all about, that God offers us to have community with other people, because it helps us remain firm in our faith. It helps us continue trusting. It helps us not to grow weary. It helps us with accountability that God is with all of us, so therefore He is with you. There's something else I want to share with you. Excuse me. It's the idea that just as the Israelites prepared through the circumcision that Maddie had referenced and Passover, the celebration, we must also continue to prepare our hearts and lives for the tasks that God has set before us. We must prepare ourselves. And sometimes I think Satan has us comparing the tasks instead of preparing ourselves. We're too busy thinking of, well, why did she get to do that? And why has this come my way? Instead of just saying, like Job, okay, I believe and trust that my God knows this is a horrible events that I am facing, but my God is still my God. Let's read out of Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, verse 13, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Okay, so let's stop and look at that. These are actually action steps. What does the Lord require of me? To fear him, reverence him. Remember, we talked about that, be in reverent awe of his holiness. He asks us to walk in his ways. How do we know the ways to walk? We read his word. We study his word and love him, which is why our accountability small group is trying to give him the first of our days and making him priority. We want our love for him to be known and shown by prioritizing it. And to serve the Lord our God. What does that look like to serve him? We serve him with how we love. We serve him with how we think. We serve him by what we do. We seek the nature of God. We seek to love how he loves, love what he loves. And the more we cleave to loving what God loves, the less sin has a grip on us, the less the world can entrap us. Remember, we are constantly considering God's greatness, and we are seeking to love the Lord and love like the Lord. Love him, walk in his ways, hold fast to him. Find people that will lead you to continue doing that. That is what this is all about, that we read the word of God and we allow it to change and reshape the way we think, the way we love, and what we do. That we look at who he is in the word and what we can be because we know that that is promised to us. I'm going to read something. It's called The Impossible Situation. This is from Charles Swindoll. This is going forward into Joshua chapter 6. So if you haven't read Joshua chapter 6, please do that. Look at the walls of Jericho from a human viewpoint. It was a double wall. It was a formidable structure that two chariots could fit side by side on top of it. It was massive, and the gates were sealed tight against all invaders. No one went out, and no one was getting in. From a human viewpoint, it was impregnable. Israel was facing an impossible situation of the walls of Jericho. That is what was going on in Joshua's mind with this verse 5:15. That's what was going on. He had that huge, massive, formidable structure in front of him. And that's when the commander of the Lord's army says to him, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. He didn't say, "What does that have to do with fighting the Battle of Jericho?" He didn't say, "Aren't I going to need my shoes?" He didn't say, "Well, that's not really helping with the situation I'm facing." He just obeyed. He recognized and reverenced the holiness of Christ. And Christ reminded him, "You are taking off your sandals. You are releasing any strap that you think is what's going to prepare you for anything. And you're going to remain immovable in your complete devotion to me." And Joshua was like, "Okay, I'm in. I'm all in." So those walls of Jericho are just like any impossible situation that you might be facing right now. It's something you can't climb over. It's something you can't tunnel under, and you can't break your way through. There it stands. And unless you are careful, Charles Swindoll writes, that's all you see. So that's how Satan tries to trap us. He gives us something impossible, and we can't see a way over it, through it, or under it. So we're almost just captivated by how insurmountable of a problem it is. We are all faced with a series of great opportunities, brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. We see the impossibility, but God wants us to understand that He is a specialist at breaking through walls and solving the impossible. If we will just do it His way, we can make it through. And what is His way? His way is daily devotion to Him, daily seeking to be in the holy presence of our Lord and Savior. It is daily in our normal, ordinary, humble environments of life. Finding that dedication that we can have with God, God our portion, God who is enough, God who is the potter to us the clay. It's craving time daily with Him. It's reminding ourselves that whatever mountain is in front of us, we have someone bigger than that mountain. If you look at how the word is used, holy, in other places in the Bible or in other translations of this same verse, it means set apart by the Lord, of the Lord, to the Lord. So in His holiness, we are only able to be holy if we are set apart by Him. So as a believer, asking Jesus Christ into your heart, you have been set apart from the world. But the thing is, our sin nature fights back and forth with us. The minute we ask Jesus into our heart and become converted, it doesn't mean that our sin nature is turned off. We have to daily crave and intentionally seek to set ourselves apart from the world and be in the holy presence of our Lord and Savior. So that again, I hope as you've been listening, you and the Holy Spirit has been compelling you to explore, how do I daily set myself apart, ask God to help me remove my earthly barriers, and I don't see the big, insurmountable, unmovable Jericho wall in front of me anymore. All I see is the drawn sword in the hand of the commander of the Lord's army, saying to me like He did to Joshua, remove and release anything in the way. Stand there bare. Unready yourself in the holiness of me. Dwell with me. Be established by me. And let me fight your battles. Let me fight your battles. May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.